Welcome to University Showcase. I'm Megan Kamerick. In 2013, journalist and author Eric Schlosser wrote Command and Control, Nuclear Weapons, the Damascus Accident, and the Illusion of Safety. It offered a compelling account of accidents, near misses, and technological breakthroughs about the management of the nuclear arsenal. The book was later made into a documentary. And in 2016, Schlosser partnered with artist Smriti Keshari and director Kevin Ford to create the film The Bomb. It uses driving music by the band The Acid, archival footage, and modern images to hit viewers on an emotional level about nuclear weapons. After staging events around the world, the installation has now been scaled down to tour college campuses. The Bomb is on view at University of New Mexico's Zimmerman Library through May 30th. I spoke with Schlosser, Keshari, and UNM Associate Professor Mariah Gomez about the film on New Mexico in Focus on NMPBS.
Thank you for joining me. Eric, I want to start with you. Years ago, I interviewed you at this very table when Command and Control came out, and your book exposed the challenges of managing our nuclear arsenal. Then you made this film with Smriti, The Bomb. Why did you want to continue your work in this kind of format?
You know, I think that the threat posed by nuclear weapons is probably the greatest existential threat that we face. And with my work, I've really tried to bring attention to the issue in a way that will begin a conversation and debate. In New Mexico, because of all the nuclear facilities here, I think there's a real awareness of it. But at the same time, in the United States, there's a remarkable amount of amnesia about the nuclear threat. Right now in Europe, people are thinking about it because of Putin's nuclear threats against Ukraine, and countries there are beginning to wonder if they need their own nuclear weapons. But this is a huge issue that when I was in college in the 1980s, everybody talked about, and now it's been largely forgotten. So my book and this film are both ways of trying to provoke a dialogue and get people to think again.
I remember that well, being in college in the 80s. Yeah. Smriti, how did you come to this subject, and why did you want to explore it in this way?
Yeah. So I came to the subject matter through Eric's book, through Command and Control, and similarly to what you were saying earlier, it scared me, right?
I was mentioning that when I read Eric's book, I was like, terrified.
Yeah. And I think there was such this like sense of fear, also this sense of sadness. And I was also at the same time so angry that I didn't know anything about it. You know, I knew about the headlines, of course, but it didn't have that same emotional impact or really this like core understanding of it that I think it did for a lot of people who were alive during the Cold War, Cuban Missile Crisis, or lived in the land where they were being affected. And it was this like sense, as Eric was saying, this cultural amnesia. There wasn't that connection. And reading the book, it kind of really sort of takes you through this process of how we got to this point. And there's so many different emotions that you feel, this fear, this sense of power that's attached to it, of how did we continue to justify it, or how did it serve a purpose at a point, and then who were all the people affected? And so the idea really, as Eric and I started talking, was how could we take people through this emotional understanding of nuclear weapons, especially for a generation that had not been born or was really young during the Cold War, Cuban Missile Crisis. And now, you know, a younger generation that's inheriting this problem, how can this be a way to just be an entry point into the subject matter?
Eric's book is very dense with facts and stories of some pretty terrifying mistakes and near misses in managing the nuclear arsenal. The film has no narration. It's rather its images, its sound design, archival footage, and animation. Why choose the techniques you did to tell the story?
Yeah. Well, that was something that we, you know, talked about from the onset, that to a degree, the information is there of, you know, these experts or people talking at you. But with this, we really wanted to take people through this visceral and emotional understanding of nuclear weapons, to not tell them how to feel, but to let them go through that journey. And that was really at the heart of it, not just Eric and I, but also our amazing co-director, Kevin Ford, and then also the band who did the live score. The music is such a central part of the narrative. Our artistic director, Stanley Donwood, who took a lot of the raw material and the research that Eric had had and used it as animation and illustration through the film. So it was really this collaborative process with the creative team. And we were always sort of on the same page of wanting to take people through the way that, you know, people felt when they were having to go to school and go through duck and cover, and you're seeing the headlines and that effect that it has, that you really feel it in your bones.
And Eric, the exhibit now at UNM Zimmerman Library is a reconfiguring of the film into a more immersive experience. Why did you want to create this sort of new iteration with
Sweeney? Well, back to the earlier question, you know, I wrote my book, and then there was a PBS documentary based on the book that I feel very proud of, and it was a more conventional documentary with interviews and explaining things for you. And with The Bomb, Smriti and I wanted to do something that worked on a different sort of level, as she said, on a visceral emotional level, so that when we would stage it on a large scale, which we did in Berlin, in Sydney, Australia, at the National Academy of Sciences in Washington, D.C., in Oslo at the Nobel Peace ceremonies, we had a band playing live as the film was projected either on multiple screens or on a very large screen. But concert management and promotion is not our skill set, and it took so much time and energy to do one of those performances that we created an installation that has multiple screens that has recorded music so that the band doesn't have to travel everywhere it goes. And we've been taking it to college campuses around the United States. And the installation will be put in a gallery, and it'll be up for a month or so. And then Smriti and I will go to the college and try to have a conversation with panels, with different people, with different points of view. You know, I've engaged with all kinds of people on this issue, from high government officials to high-level people at the labs and at the Air Force, and there are really strongly different opinions on how to go forward. But I think we can all agree that we don't want a nuclear war and have that as the starting point, but the conversation needs to be happening. And we really need to also reckon with our past and the ways in which the creation of the nuclear weapon enterprise had profound effects on the people who worked in it, the people whose land was taken, the damage that we've done to the environment. And, you know, my background academically is in history, and I really believe we need to confront our history, acknowledge our history in order to move forward in a just and honorable way.
Mariah Gomez, let me turn to you. You've been a scholar of the impact of the bomb in the nuclear industry in New Mexico. And what kind of impact did this art installation have on you in the film?
You know, when Smriti and Eric first contacted me, there was no way of turning this opportunity down. What I have found in my, I've been teaching a class at UNM called Atomic Bomb Cultures for just about 10 years now. And what I find is that this generation of college students and this younger and upcoming generation, they don't know very much. They're enough removed from the Cold War to where they either don't know or they will readily admit we didn't learn any of this in New Mexico history, in US history. And so when we're entering, you know, we enter January of 2025 with the doomsday clock being moved to the closest it's ever been at 89 seconds, and they don't really have an understanding of the significance of that. So when the creators first approached me, I said, we have to do this. We have to find a way to engage college students and the Albuquerque and New Mexico community in general in this conversation in a way that I feel is approachable, in a way that doesn't feel like it's talking heads talking at you. Like Smriti said, it's very evocative in terms of making the viewer go through this set of emotions. And I think for me, there was a lot of new footage for me, but a lot of nuclear testing footage for watching that, you know, historical footage and archival footage. And I think that we're at a point where as we are essentially in a new Manhattan Project developing new nuclear weapons. All of those plutonium pits at this point are being built in New Mexico, in Los Alamos. And we have to be having this conversation about nuclear testing right now. And college students need to be prepared to enter that dialogue.
You're listening to University Showcase on KUNM. I'm Megan Kamerick. This is an interview I did on New Mexico PBS with journalist and author Eric Schlosser, artist Smriti Keshari, and UNM Associate Professor Mariah Gomez. The bomb art installation is at Zimmerman Library through May 30th. I also interviewed Mariah Gomez in 2023 about her book, Nuclear Nuevo México, Colonialism and the Effects of the Nuclear Industrial Complex on Nuevo Mexicanos. You can find that episode and all our University Showcase episodes at KUNM.org.
Smriti, what kind of reactions have you seen with people on campuses, especially interacting with the film?
You know, we've been touring it for almost a year now. And it's been incredible because so much has changed in the country as well. From the onset, I think, you know, one of our most important goals, one of our primary goals, was to be able to have a conversation. Because I think with nuclear weapons, either people think, oh, that's so complex, it doesn't affect me, or someone else is taking care of it, or we need to protect our country, or, you know, and it just becomes almost these, like, headlines or these just sound bites. And there is not a lot of spaces except for classrooms and professors, I think, where people can learn more about it, to be able to engage with it, to have a point of view, it be challenged, defend it, just to have dialogue and to have conversation. And we always say with the bomb every single time, we want to hear what people think. You know, we want to know what their point of view is. How do they think it affects them? Because, as Mariah was saying, it's something that this new generation is inheriting. And so the earlier that you can get it engaged, the earlier that students can begin to know that, okay, they are here, and this is where we stand. And to be okay to talk about it and not feel like it's something to fear, and not feel like you have to be so didactic or so one way or another. That sort of dividing, you know, that polarization, it holds everyone hostage rather than being able to have dialogue. And that's what's been great with students, is that they talk, and in the classroom visits that we're doing, they're debating. And they are also asking us questions. And, you know, Eric, command and control has really made such an impact in the nuclear weapon field, I would say. And so for them to even be able to talk to Eric about it, it kind of just gives it a new entry point. And I remember when I was in college, and we were talking about this earlier, that it's the impact that Fast Food Nation had in kind of waking up.
Another one of Eric's books.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In waking us up to the reality of the food industry. So I think that's really at the onset. It's not about, you know, this is right, this is wrong, left or right. It's more about, you know, investing and starting to get exposed or interested in the subject matter.
I'm interested in the aesthetic choices and the images you decided to use. I don't know which one of you would like to talk about that.
More specifically, what do you mean?
So you start with, we see lots of different armies, presumably all the nuclear powers. We see a lot of archival footage. We see a lot of things of the machinery.
Yeah.
That's to your book, like the machinery that's containing these weapons.
The film is non-linear. It doesn't have a narrator. It doesn't have interviews, but it's very carefully structured.
Okay.
So it's not a series of random images. And the film opens up in space with satellite photography of Earth. And Earth is beautiful from space. And then when you get a little closer, is when, you know, the next sequence is the armies marching. And, you know, up until now, the United States has not paraded its nuclear weapons. And the United States doesn't have a huge tradition except on, you know, maybe Memorial Day of military parades, whereas other countries that are nuclear powers, you know, show off their nuclear weapons as symbols of their national might. And without going through the whole film, you know, these machines are beautiful as man-made objects. They're shiny, they're ingenious, And with the research I did, you know, I spent a lot of time with people from Sandia, and they've done remarkable technical work. And the fact that we never had a nuclear weapons accident with a full-scale detonation is a testament to the scientific and engineering skill. But at the same time, there is this allure of these weapons and their power as manifest in these gigantic explosions, which, if you like fireworks, as I do, there's something very mesmerizing. But then as you realize what they can do, they lose their appeal. So I don't want to go through the whole film, but it was really intended to be a visual journey that works on a different level from the way that I'm even explaining it right now.
Right.
You know, my book has so many pages of footnotes and sources, and that's a certain kind of rational, logical mind that I really believe in. I believe in science. I believe in empirical method. I believe in studying history. But then I also think that there are certain truths that can be communicated a different way. And that's what the film that Smriti and I made tries to do.
Yeah. One thing that I'll add to that is that, you know, with nuclear weapons, the conversation so quickly goes into, it can become about the countries and who has them, and mine is bigger than yours, and which one, and quantity, and deterrence, and why. But I think one of the things that Eric's book really did was really looked at it from a point of view of, like, the focus of the machine. And it's this machine that we're talking about. And we're not saying no to defense, right? It's not about, there are low combat missiles, there's precision. But this machine specifically is the most powerful machine ever built. And so coming into it from that point of view of showing, like, this is the physical, this is the thing that we're talking about. This is how powerful it is. This is the consequences. This is, you know, but this, it's this machine. It helps to get people on the same sort of place, because if you're thinking, well, I need to defend, you know, or if you're thinking about safety or security, that's a different dialogue. But if we're all talking about this machine, how powerful it is, the consequences that it has, is this what we would use? If you were a business investor, is this the machine that you would invest in, right? When you come into it from that point of view, and then visually, to get people all there, it's, let's show the thing that, you know, that we're talking about. It's not all these other things, it's this.
It was also very moving to show, you had the images that people made who had been in Hiroshima were very, very moving, as it comes right after some of these things that are mesmerizing. Yeah. Mariah, there's also archival footage of the creation of Los Alamos. I was wondering how that sat with you while you watched, or other parts of the film you want to think, you know, comment on.
I mean, the archival footage is always interesting for me to watch for different reasons. And as I'm listening to you all talk about, like, the artistic components of the film, I think that for some of us in New Mexico to watch that in this sort of way without a voiceover, you know, being confronted with that imagery will be difficult. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, you know, you go through this range of emotions as you're watching this film. There's a particular scene, and not to give the film away, but I will say there's a particular scene where the narrative sort of gets to the Manhattan Project, right? And there's some Trinity footage there as well. And when you think about these sorts of narratives that the population, the American population in particular, is used to thinking about or receiving when it comes to the Trinity test or when it comes to the Manhattan Project. And then there's the rest of us thinking, well, we have a different narrative or a different story or a different sort of voiceover in our heads when we're watching that. You know, for downwinders in the Tularosa Basin, it may be watching that footage of them loading the gadget and thinking that was the last day that we could have escaped what was to come for the next 80 years. Or for me in particular, the footage in Los Alamos, you know, that's what it looked like there before my great grandparents were evicted from their farm.
This is University Showcase on KUNM, and I'm Megan Kamrick. On this month's show, I'm talking to the creators of an immersive installation about nuclear weapons at Zimmerman Library. The team behind it includes journalist and author Eric Schlosser, who published his book, Command and Control, Nuclear Weapons, the Damascus Accident, and the Illusion of Safety, in 2013. It explored the accidents, near misses, and technological breakthroughs in managing the nuclear arsenal. He worked with artist Smriti Keshari to make the film The Bomb in 2016. It uses driving music with modern and archival footage to create a meditation on living with nuclear weapons. The film is part of an installation touring campuses and is currently at Zimmerman Library through May 30th.
Mariah, how can this kind of art reach people in other ways? Smriti touched on this, but that perhaps even books or other scholarship can't.
You know, one of the things that was appealing to me about bringing this exhibition to New Mexico is, as you know, Megan, I've been doing a lot with art and finding ways to discuss nuclear issues using art over the last couple of years. And I think that what this exhibit does at UNM is creates a space to sort of watch those images and think about these alternative narratives, but also reflect on it. And so not only can classes go and students go and the campus community, but it is open to the public, so the public can engage. And one of the things that we have with the exhibit, and I want to, you know, acknowledge Mal Rivas at University Libraries, who's been really instrumental in coordinating the exhibition side of it at Zimmerman. There's a big wall where folks, viewers, can essentially write comments reflecting on how nuclear weapons makes them feel. Because I think we often think about nuclear issues in these sorts of very objective ways, and it is like this very clear-cut sort of thinking, and we don't think about emotion oftentimes. And so this film also opens it up to that emotional response and letting people be afraid or be whatever it is. I had a student in my class this semester, the very first day of class was like, I don't know if I should be here. I am so afraid of nuclear weapons, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I've watched this student in particular throughout the course of the semester, now that she has the information and the critical thinking skills to engage with that, she has different thoughts. Now, that's not to say she's any less afraid, but I think being able to engage critical thinking is what's important. Because if I was there as a professor just telling students what to think and how to think, I'm not really doing my job. And I think the film allows for that sort of critical thinking and critical engagement with these issues.
Yeah. And I just love to add that the Manhattan Project and the history of the Manhattan Project, not necessarily the conventional history in which a group of brilliant scientists create a new machine, but the broader history of how they did it, what they did to the land, who owned the land, what the consequences have been. It could not be more relevant right now, because as we sit here, there is a Manhattan Project going on in Iran. There is the beginnings of a Manhattan Project in South Korea. It's extraordinary to me how many countries are now thinking about having nuclear weapons, and the non-proliferation regime that was initiated by President Richard Nixon, which was to limit the number of countries with nuclear weapons and commit the United States to getting rid of our arsenal as well as the Russians. That whole notion is now in danger. So again, getting back to history, I hope that all of these countries will think very carefully about what we've done in this country and about the consequences here, because the more countries have nuclear weapons, the more unstable the world order is going to be. And you know, my book is about the really complex technological systems that you need to manage this arsenal effectively and without being falsely nationalistic and jingoistic. We invented this technology, we perfected it. I have more faith in our nuclear enterprise than any other in the world, and yet we've come close a number of times to blowing ourselves up. So it should be a very cautionary tale to any other country that's thinking about having nuclear weapons. And, you know, the Manhattan Project is something that all these countries should look carefully at.
I think you just answered my question, but as Mariah alluded to, the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists moved the doomsday clock closer to midnight than it's ever been.
I'm not apocalyptic.
Is this why?
Well, I think it's a number of reasons. I think that, you know, President Putin has been making nuclear threats, and the media that he controls in Russia has been celebrating the use of nuclear weapons in a way that we've never seen before. So they've created computer-generated images of the destruction of London. They've really, really emphasized nuclear weapons as the source of Russian national power. And that's extremely, extremely dangerous.
Well, Eric Schlosser, Smriti Keshari, Mariah Gomez, thank you so much for coming and talking
thank
about
you.
This and for the exhibit.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank you.
Megan.
That was journalist Eric Schlosser, artist Smriti Keshari, and UNM Associate Professor Mariah Gomez in an interview I first did on New Mexico PBS earlier this month. The immersive exhibit The Bomb is at Zimmerman Library through May 30th. You can find this episode and all our episodes at KUNM.org, including a 2023 interview I did with Mariah Gomez about her book, Nuclear Nuevo Mexico, Colonialism and the Effects of the Nuclear Industrial Complex on Nuevo Mexicanos. Thanks to Associate Professor David Bashwinner for our theme music, and thanks for listening to University Showcase here on Public Radio, KUNM.